Will you bow your heads and pray with me, please? Father, I thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. I thank you for the opportunity that you give me to share your word with your people. Let the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. One of the nine, or the one of the ten? The region between Samaria and Galilee is the setting of our lectionary's decision upon the scripture from the 17th chapter of Luke's Gospel, verses 11 through 19. But can you picture it? As we read so many times in the Bible about Jesus traveling from this region to that region and on this road and on that road, we can begin to see that Jesus was on a dusty street heading to Jerusalem, and these lepers were on that same pathway. They crossed paths. Have you ever crossed paths with someone in your life? We read about the 10 lepers that approached Jesus, yet kept their distance as they pleaded with their master, "Have mercy on us." In the 14th verse, it says, "When he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priest.' And as they went, they were made clean." What happened first? First, Jesus was right there and available, as he is for all of us. Secondly, they recognized him as master. Then they asked for mercy. He told them to go show themselves to the priest, and they went. They didn't doubt. They didn't say, "Well, wait a minute, aren't you going to heal us first?" No, they went. You see, as they were going, they were healed. They went as he told them to go, knowing that he had the power to do what they needed him to do. But look what he said to the one that came back to praise him. Imagine it, leprosy. That was like the cancer of their day. The one who came back to praise Jesus was told that his faith had made him well. The one who came back was doubly blessed. Why was he doubly blessed? He wasn't only healed, he got to praise Jesus face to face. I could only imagine. The other nine had the same opportunity, but only one came back to praise him. Only one out of the 10 came back to praise him. Our psalm, which the lectionary also chose, says this: "Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give him glorious praise. Say to God, 'How awesome are your deeds.'" Say to God, "How awesome are your deeds." And by the way, make a joyful noise. Give to him the glorious praise. I know just how wonderful it is to be able to make a joyful noise to his name. I know it now. Not in song, though, but in testimony of what he's done in my life personally. Just a few short weeks ago, I was asked to give my testimony, not in book form and not in song, which come pretty natural for me. But I was asked to stand in front of a group of people whom I didn't know and give my testimony, something I'd never done before. And I was asked to give my testimony of what God had brought me through in front of this group of people. But the only way I could do it was revisit it. And sometimes that's hard. But honestly, it was a good visitation. It reminded me, just like this one leper in our text, that I need to come back and thank Jesus. I need to tell him thank you. I need to tell him daily, just like that song says, "Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me." To tell him and to thank him for what he did, what he's done, and what he continues to do for me and for you, and for all who call upon his name and truly believe that he is. When I had the honor of being asked to give my testimony, I gotta tell you, I was kind of petrified, because it just wasn't something that I normally do. So this was through an email, and when I opened the email and I slowly read this, it said, "Dee, we're so grateful that you're willing to share your gift of music with all of us over at West Jones Street this coming Wednesday. But Oh, the butts. But she says, I remember when we first met, you had mentioned that you also had a time of homelessness in your life. It wasn't a pleasant time to remember. She says, would you be willing to share your story of how God worked in your life during that period for our devotion time? And I thought, what? Are you kidding? I thought they just wanted me to show up and sing songs of praise. That's what I do, right? You know. I thought they knew that I was only willing to share what I'm comfortable sharing, to do what I'm comfortable doing. I realize how ridiculous that all sounds now. It's like only giving half of yourself to something. So let me explain. Just like the other 9 lepers in Luke's gospel, I thought I was just supposed to show up and give what I came to give. Or like the lepers, show up and get what they came to get. But that's wrong. That's not how it works. I've learned yet again, things are never what I think they're going to be. They are only what God says they are to be. The words of Miss Frances Matthews rang in my ears as I read this email. If you commit your life to Christ, be prepared for whatever He calls you to do. Whatever He calls you to do. Now that's a statement. Melinda always tells me, Dee, you were given many things and many gifts, but not to keep for yourself. Melinda tells me that what God has given you, He gave it to you so that He could work through you to give to someone else. And that's true. Melinda's one of the truest, most humble disciples I've ever met. But she also understands fear. And this is how Melinda understands fear. It's the absence of faith. Or just like my mom always says, if you are nervous, don't let your nervousness stop you from doing what you know God has called you to do. Because if you do, that means you doubt in the one that called you. So the testimony, the one I was asked to give as the devotion on this particular Wednesday for the church in the woods. Well, it went better than I'd hoped it would be. It certainly went better than I prayed for because, you know us, God help me get through this and, you know, we're done. It went better because it came through the new heart that Christ gave me. It didn't come from me, but it came in spite of me. Seems like I have to keep reminding myself to get out of God's way for a minute and just let Him do whatever He wants to do through me. But sometimes it's not easy. But it doesn't have to measure up to my standards. It just has to line up with His plan. And since neither you nor I know what His ultimate plan looks like, we've just got to be ready to say, here I am, Lord. Is it I? Because I have heard you calling in the night. And I will go. And I will hold your people in my heart. Well, after I gave this testimony, I saw Melinda that night. The testimony was over with, and I was wiping the sweat. And then I saw Melinda, and she says, you want to preach next Sunday? And I'm like, what? But I heard her explain that it was homecoming for her home church. And I know how much I love my home church. Kipling holds my heart, and that's her home church. And it's Mama's home church, too. And her grandmother's 106th birthday, which she's no longer with us, but the entire family was getting together in celebration. And then it all sank in, the reminder came. What you have been given is not for you alone. And it's just not. Sometimes it's not easy to talk about what you've been through. And sometimes it's not easy to fill in someone else's place. But we need to have faith in Jesus that when He tells us, go and show yourselves to the priests, I'll go now. I'll go where He leads me, and I'll do whatever He leads me to do. And I pray that I will not have one drop of doubt that He is the one that guides my steps. He does hear me when I pray. Lead, guide, and direct me. We all pray that pretty often. He hears me, and then He gives me the opportunities And then it's my decision to say, your will be done, not mine. When I gave that testimony for the first time at West Jones Street Park, a man with a limp right arm came up to me and asked, would he heal my right arm too? I just stood there for a minute. I said, nothing is impossible for God. Have faith in the one you pray to, and have faith in the prayer that you pray to him. Praise him every chance you get, and always, always let him know that you know that he is the one, and he is the way, the Lord, and the reason that you have something to share with his people. Today I bring you not a sermon, but some loving advice. The story of the 10 lepers has been played out in my life. It was just played out again in the devotion God gave me to bring his people at West Jones Street Park. My demolished right arm, when I came to North Carolina in 2008, was my leprosy. The man asked that question, would he do it for me too? That was my invitation to be that one leper, to praise God for what he had done for me. And I could hear God saying, you going to tell him that I was the one responsible for your restoration? Or are you going to praise the doctors I sent you to? Did God send me to share that devotion for just for that one man that had been wondering if he was good enough? If God loved him enough to heal him? I don't know. But since I don't know, and that could very well possibly be the reason, what if I would have shrank back in fear? What if I would have said, no, it's too uncomfortable. I can't do it. I shouldn't have to do it because, after all, I share my music every time I come. Why do I have to do this too? Don't I get to pick and choose what I want to do? Melinda's reminder. He gave to you. What he gave to you is not for you alone. And Jesus' question about the other nine that were healed. Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Together those remind me of our call to discipleship. Christ heals us, makes us whole, removes that old stony heart, and replaces it with one that is soft and receptive to his voice. And then he calls upon the new creation to go and share the good news. The good news happens to us. If we don't share it, it doesn't continue. God's reminder to us this day and every day is this. The restoration that he has brought in our lives, whatever that restoration may be, was not given to us just for our own good. He refines us for his service. We are not to question the call. We're simply to answer it in every way, not just the way we want to. We truly are blessed to be a blessing. And when we welcome someone into the church, we need to remember that it takes time for them. It takes time for them to begin to feel like they are a part of us. And sometimes these new people may not have grown up in a church like most of you have. I know personally because you're my only church family that I've ever had. And I know how awesome this church family is. But I had an instance of frustration just recently when I invited someone to come to family night. I invited them for 2 months, but they never came. And this person has told me, Kipling's so great. I love these people. They welcomed me in, warm love. And I said, well, why aren't you coming to family night? Come to family night. And the answer embarrassed me. And I felt ashamed. The answer was, but Dee, I don't have any family here. Isn't family night for family? I was crushed to realize that not one of us took a second to make sure that this person was told what family night was all about. A lot of us come to family night. All of us enjoy it. But this person didn't realize, even after coming here 5 months, that they are a part of this church family. So I always pray for our church. I pray for us as a church that we will be drawing ever nearer to what Christ intended his church to be. He describes his church in the 12th and 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He says, we are individual members that all make up one body called the church. We all have a different function, yet all serve the same God. It takes all of us doing our different jobs. If one does not know he is loved and needed, then many could possibly not know it. The greatest gift is love. The greatest we could ever have or give is love. And so I'd like for us to add something to our invitation. When we invite someone new to visit us or to join us, I would like for us to add the love of Christ to that invitation. His love as it's described in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited and arrogant. It is not rude and unmannerly. It does not act unbecoming. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own way. It's unselfish. It's not touchy or fretful. It's not easily offended. It doesn't take an account of a suffered wrong. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes and is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Praise be to God, the God of mercy and grace, the God of restoration, the God of love who gave himself to us in the man of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. If you'll all turn to